awesome people that are here tonight. I just ask a special blessing over their lives. And God, as the message is shared, take me out of the equation. And God, let your words be spoken tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So one of my favorite parts about Christmas are the Christmas movies, especially the Christmas movies on the Hallmark Channel. I begin to DVR the Hallmark Channel probably the week of Thanksgiving, where they had the 5 days of new Christmas movies, which are awesome. And so we have, during the Christmas season, we have just a DVR full of these movies. And my husband claims he doesn't like these Hallmark cheesy Christmas movies. However, when I begin to play one, he comes in from working in the garage or something and sits down next to me. And my son, who's almost 12, comes and sits on the other side. And we're all watching this cheesy Christmas movie. So I really think he likes them secretly. But so to me, Christmas isn't Christmas without all those Christmas movies. And so tonight we're going to talk about some lessons that we can learn from some of these four Christmas movies from some of these Christmas classics. And what is Christmas without the movie Elf? How many of you guys have seen Elf? All right, so we're going to watch one of the scenes, one of my favorite scenes in the movie, and then we're going to talk about it. Go ahead. Turn it up.
Sunshine and ravioli, macaroni. If you want the thing you love, you did it! Congratulations! World's best cup of coffee. Great job, everybody. It's great to meet you.
Hi.
Now come over here, boy. Sam, and every time you bring the drink, and don't you know it's confident?
All right, so there in that clip, we see Elf experiencing New York City for the first time. Now, mind you, he's grown up at the North Pole, thought he was an elf his whole life, and then he finds out that he's not, and so he goes to New York City, and if you notice, he is a little unconventional in the way he is sightseeing. He's a little over the top, a little out there. If you or I were to see this happening on the street, we might think he was drinking maybe a little bit too much eggnog. Just saying, you know. But every time I watch this, not only do I laugh every time because I think it's hilarious, I laugh at the same parts every time, but I love how he loves to experience life. Have you ever watched a child experience something for the first time? Maybe open a gift or look at the lights or look at the tree. I mean, their face is just in so much awe and in so much wonder. And if you give a child a gift, they open it with excitement and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, and they just have so much just joy inside of them. And Luke 18:15-17, it says, people were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And that's what that scene reminds me of, is just a little kid in New York City just trying to experience everything that they can, including the gum off the subway. And yeah, it's gross, but I think my daughter would probably do that. Oh, look, pink gum, and like start eating it or something. But why would God say that about a little child? I was thinking, because there's an innocence to the way a child believes. They have a childlike faith. And sometimes I feel like kids get it a little bit more than we do as adults. You know, we grow up, we go through life, and my mom always says that you can't fool a kid. You know, and when kids experience Jesus, they get it. You know, they feel it in their heart. They see it the way that maybe we don't see it. I remember bringing Kai to see The Lion King at Shays in Buffalo a few years ago. And the look on his face, because, I mean, everything when you go see a Broadway show is big and loud and bright and over the top. And I remember, I can still see his face. It brought tears to my eyes watching him watch the show, because he saw it with new eyes. He saw it with a different kind of feel than I ever did. And because kids have that wonder about it, them, they notice things that we don't. They see things that we maybe don't see, and they have an innocence to them. And that type of happy authenticity should be the hallmark of our faith as we receive God's gift in Christ. You know, like I said, we get our adult on and we worry too much about tomorrow. And I get it. Things happen. You know, life happens to every single one of us and we begin to worry. But the Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And this is what I take from this movie, is that the lesson from Elf is to take it all in. Don't let time pass you by. Notice the sights. Enjoy the moments. Make the memories. Have the childlike faith. Put the phone down. Enjoy the moment that you're in. And take it all in and have that faith that only a child can have, and experience Christmas in a whole new way this year. So the second movie is Rudolph, a true Christmas classic. Everyone knows the story of Rudolph by the song. You know, if you sing the song, you know the story of Rudolph. And my daughter has learned the song, who's 3, and my son, who's 11, has taught her all those little things in between, you know, like a flashlight, like Pinocchio. And that's all great until we were in Walmart, just her and I, the other day, and she sees Santa and shouts out as loud as a 3-year-old can, "In his underwear!" And I was like, "Shh, no, quiet," like, because that's all she said. And I'm like, oh my gosh, awesome. But we can learn a very big lesson from a little reindeer named Rudolph. Let's look at this clip.
Not bad at all.
Hey, you're okay.
She's in a cute.
Crying out loud.
Fireball, what's the matter?
Get away. Get away from me.
No. What's this nonsense here, Bugs? After all, give me.
What a pity. He had a nice takeoff, too.
All right, now, yearlings, back to practice. Oh, no, not you. You better go home with your folks. From now on, Dave, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games, right?
Quiet, please, everybody, quiet. I've got some bad news, folks. Christmas is going to be canceled. There's nothing I can do. This weather. Yeah. Rudolph, please. Could you tone it down a bit? I mean, that nose of yours. That nose. That beautiful, wonderful nose. Huh? Rudolph, Christmas is not off, and you're going to lead my team.
I am?
Yes, sir. You and that wonderful nose of yours.
My nose, sir?
Oh, from what I see now, that'll cut through the murkiest storm they can dish up. What I'm trying to say is, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
It will be an honor, sir.
Stop the island of misfit toys. Up and away!
So we have Rudolph going from rock star to yesterday's news in about 3 seconds. And so he left. He felt like everybody was just not on his side. He felt down, and so he ran away. And then through a series of events, he ends up at Misfit Island, and he gets told by the king of the island of misfits this line. He says, "Perhaps being a misfit yourself, you can help other misfits." And how true is that? How many of us at one moment in time have just felt out of place? We felt like we didn't belong. We could be in a group of our closest friends and still be looking at them and like, I really just don't fit in, you know, and we just feel a little awkward. And how many of us even have experienced those people in our lives that one day they are our best friends, like bestest ever, BFF forever friends, right? They're our best friends. And then the next day they act like they don't even know you. And you're like, you mad, bro? Like, what? What's up, right? And so, like, what's happening? And so you kind of, like, just feel just down. Like, oh, man, nobody loves me. I said this the other week in youth. Guess I'll go eat worms, you know? But growing up, Rudolph learned that he can't run away from his problems. He had to go face them. And when he goes back home, his true calling was discovered. Santa and everyone in the North Pole learned that just because Rudolph was a misfit didn't mean he didn't have a purpose. In 1 Corinthians 12:4, it says there are different gifts, different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them all. One of the versions says the same Spirit works through them all. We all have different gifts, but God gave us those gifts. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. God has given us all gifts and talents. I can speak on that for days if you know me. I love that subject because we all are giving something to offer other people. And so the lesson from Rudolph is your unique gifting can lead you to your unique calling, which leads you to your unique purpose in God. I'm going to say it again. Your unique gift leads you to your unique purpose, which leads you to your unique calling in God, unique purpose in God. Don't get down because you're not like everybody else. Celebrate it. And then celebrate other people's gifts and callings because life would just not be as cool if everybody had the same gift, right? If we all had the same gift, then what would that be? You know, what fun would that be? Every single one of us has a unique gift for a unique calling, for a unique purpose in God's kingdom. And let's use those gifts. And that's the lesson that we can learn from Rudolph. Don't run away. Don't run away because you're different. Celebrate that. God gave you a specific gift for a specific purpose in him. Amen? The next movie is It's a Wonderful Life. Now, how many of you guys have seen this movie? Okay, I'm going to do my best to explain it because taking a two-hour movie and explaining it in like 2 minutes is whew. But some facts on this movie. It originally was a 21-page Christmas card that Philip Van Duren Stern decided to give the gift of words to his friends and family one Christmas. And so he wrote out 21 pages of this story and printed out 200 copies and gave it to all of his friends and family. Through that, a producer at RKO Pictures ended up getting a hold of it and purchased the movie rights for $10,000. Another fact is that it bombed at the box office. Though it has now become a quintessential American classic, It's a Wonderful Life was not an immediate hit at the box office. In fact, it says that it put Capra $525,000 in the hole. Another fact, which I thought was cool, is Seneca Falls, New York, is the real Bedford Falls. Though Bedford Falls is a fictitious place, the town of Seneca Falls claims that they are the real-life inspiration for George Bailey's charming hometown. Now, George Bailey, we don't know this story. He was a guy who grew up in Bedford Falls, and what this guy did was put a lot of people first. He believed the best in others, and he was always looking out for the interests of other people. And he, you know, if someone wanted a loan for a house, he would give it to them. Even though they didn't qualify for a loan, he would be like, "You, I believe in you. I'll give you a loan. You know, I believe that you're going to pay me back." And the bank people were like going crazy because he just saw the best in everybody. So it came down to an $8,000 deposit that went missing. You'll have to watch the movie to find out how. But so it went missing. And George Bailey, like, just gets very upset, obviously, because it's $8,000 that he needed to deposit to save the business that he had. And he was very depressed, and he felt like giving up. He wanted his life to just go away, and he wished, it says in the movie, that he was never born. And what happens is that an angel came down, his name was Clarence, and through showing George what Bedford Falls would be like had he never been born, George realizes that his life really did make an impact on those around him. And then at the end of Clarence as the angel, showing him what life would be like at Bedford Falls, George realizes that his life mattered, and this is what happened at the end of the movie.
It's from London.
Oh.
Mr. Gower cabled you need cash. Stop. My office instructed to advance you up to $25,000. Stop.
Oh.
Hee-haw and Merry Christmas, Sam Wainwright. Oh.
Just as quick as I could, the fool flew all the way up here in a blizzard.
Carry on, Mr. Bedford in New York.
Oh, I left right in the middle of it. As soon as I got Mary's telegram. Good idea, Ernie. A toast. To my big brother, George, the richest man in town.
I don't know why, but I have to fight back tears right now. But that scene is so emotional for me. When I watched that, I just literally I was a mess. I was just a mess. But because it's all about people helping people, people loving people, people seeing the best in people, people coming through for friends when it really matters. And shouldn't that be what we do daily? Loving people, helping people, seeing the needs in other people's lives and helping fulfill those needs on a daily basis. You see, George Bailey, like I said, he was a guy that looked out for everybody. He was a guy that put people first. Even sometimes when it was hard for him, he had big dreams, big plans, and he stayed in Bedford Falls and because he was helping people. And the Bible says in Philippians 2:3-4, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." And then in Matthew 20:28, it says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." You see, when you put others first, at the end of the day, when you do that day in and day out, when you need help, your true friends are going to come through. They're going to remember, well, you know what? They helped me. I'm going to do my best to help them because they're in trouble. And so the lesson that we can learn from It's a Wonderful Life is that any time that you look out for others, it's not a waste. It's not a waste when you put other people first. It's not a waste when you notice something in somebody's life and you do your best to help. It doesn't always mean $8,000. Maybe it's a hug when somebody needs it. Deb Cross is the best at that. She knows when I need a hug because I'm not like a big hugger, so she can see when I need a hug. And maybe it's a hug, or maybe it's a card that you write to someone, or maybe it is buying someone coffee, you know, that you just really felt like you needed to do that. But any type of need never goes to waste when you put somebody else first. And another lesson that we can learn from that movie is no man is a failure who has great friends. When you have people surrounding you that love you, that you can do life with, you're never going to be a failure. Never. When you have people around you that you know you can count on when the going gets tough, that you know you can call, that you know you have supporting you and loving you through life, you're never a failure when you have that. And the last movie that we're going to go through is Charlie Brown Christmas. The movie speaks for itself, and I couldn't do a message without watching this classic scene from this movie.
We're back.
Boy, are you stupid, Charlie Brown.
What kind of a tree is that?
You are supposed to get a good tree. Can't you even tell a good tree from a poor tree?
I told you we'd goof it up. He's not the kind you can depend on to do anything right.
You're hopeless, Charlie Brown. Completely hopeless.
Rats!
You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it.
What a tree!
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
I love that. Charlie Brown gets to the point where we find ourselves sometimes, right? We get caught up in the hustle and the bustle, and finally he's just like, well, somebody please tell me what Christmas is all about. And I love that because I can relate to that, because sometimes I just get going and then I'm just like, ah! And I have to go back and remember why it is that I'm doing what I'm doing, right? And I love how calm Linus is as he recites that scripture. And I love how it's the only time, as soon as he says, fear not, that he drops his security blanket. As soon as he says, fear not, boom, that security blanket drops on the ground, on the stage. But isn't that what scripture does? It brings peace to a hectic situation. It brings help to the lost. It brings light to the darkness. It removes all fear to the point where you don't need a security blanket. That when you're focusing on God and the scripture and what he has promised to do for you, that you're like, all right, I can do this. I got this because God's got my back. And the lesson learned from Charlie Brown Christmas is don't miss Christmas. Don't miss it. Don't let it pass you by. Don't get so caught up in buying the gifts, the decorating the tree, putting like a million and one lights on your house because the person next to you has a million and just a million lights on their house. So you have to have one up on them, right? don't get caught up that, you know, about the biggest tree, the most gifts, the brightest house, that you miss what it is about. And I know that we're all here tonight and we know what it's about, but even as Christians, even as people that love God and know God, we can still miss the point of what Christmas is about. It's about the light that came down so that we can live. He just recited it in Luke 2:10. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" And maybe Christmas isn't a time, you know, I hear Pastor talk about it, how he remembers Christmases when he was younger and they weren't good. But God can restore all that. God can bring you joy in a hopeless situation. He can bring you hope. He can make it so that you have peace during a time. You know, I think when we think of joy, we think of Elf all the time, right? 24/7. But that's not necessarily what joy is. I can have joy in my heart and not be like, yippee-dee, right? All the time. Like, I can have joy and not be like, hee-hee. Because that's not the kind of joy all the time that God brings. He'll give you a peace. He'll give you a joy that says, you know what, I can get through this season. I can do this because, like I said, God has my back. I don't have to fear my situation because I believe that God has given me that hope. He's given me that light. He's given me that peace in this situation during this time. And that's something that I want to pass on to my kids and their kids pass on to their kids, is that during this season, it's a time to remember the Savior that was born. Our Savior that was born, that came to live on earth for you and I, so that we can have grace every single day of our lives, so that we can have peace every single day, no matter what situation it is that we're going through. In Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." That's exactly what he wants to be to us, not only in this season, but every season in our lives. He wants to be the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, because he's the Prince of Peace, no matter what it is that we are celebrating. What are you truly, actually my question is, what are you truly celebrating this Christmas season? Because we have someone we're celebrating during this time. Remember to have childlike faith. Your uniqueness is a gift. Look out for the needs of others and remember the why on your daily things that you do. Remember the why. Don't miss Christmas. Simplify it. And I'll end with a quote from the Grinch, that maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. Let's pray. God, I do thank you for this night. I thank you, God, that we can find you everywhere that we're at. I thank you for the lessons that we can learn through everything that we've watched tonight, God. And I just pray that you help us during this season, God, that we won't miss Christmas, that come December 26th, God, that we find a renewed joy in our spirits, in our homes, God. I pray for families today. God, I pray that peace would just be over each family in their homes, God. I pray for a new joy this season. God, maybe a joy that people have not been experiencing up to this point, God, that you'll just bring joy to situations today, God, that you'll bring hope to hopeless situations, God, that you'll bring light to the darkness during this time, God. And I just thank you for sending your son. I thank you for loving us, God, to send your only son to die for us, God. And as we remember it during this time, God, that we're able to just open up our arms and say thank you. We love you, Jesus. I just pray again for each family that's really on my heart right now. Just each family, God, that they find you, they see you, and they sent you in their homes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything tonight, Ben and Chris, if you guys can come up. If you need prayer for anything, we want to pray for you. We have refreshments again. Just hang out if you want. Talk to somebody. Make some friendships tonight. And we love you and hope to see you Sunday morning at 8:30 and 10 a.m.